Today, I'm with Adam Tulliper, who's a technical evangelist here at Microsoft. He's focused on Unity since, I think, 2 years now. Why I have Adam today with me? Because he will show you guys that in 2 years, you can learn how to use Unity, and you can even teach Unity, and this is what he's doing. Hi, Adam. Welcome to Level
Thank you very much. In less than 2 years. You,
oh,
too,
wow.
Can do it in less than 2 years. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. But let's start a little bit about your career from the beginning, your degree, from where you started, and why you were focusing on games, and how everything started.
So interesting enough, I started in an area of computer science that was not games.
Yeah.
Started a long time ago, as a kid actually, doing electronics projects and coding. I met a fellow when I was in third grade named Gabe, and he introduced me to playing guitar and electronics. His house was this old, creaky house with electronics components everywhere, like the best learning place for a kid. We used to stay up late at night, like entering computer programs, because they would have magazines you had to read the programs and type them in from. So that was kind of my start in it. Graduated from university in Pennsylvania in computer science with an interest in security and reverse engineering. And I thought for sure I was going to go into the security field,
mm-hmm.
Writing software protection mechanisms. And I ended up getting an offer from a local place, so I went into enterprise software development. I was in that field for many, many years as a software architect for about 18 years prior to joining Microsoft. So that, so far, you're probably thinking has nothing to do with
exactly
none whatsoever. Joining Microsoft, of course, we had a lot of events surrounding Windows 8. And somebody came to me and they said, hey, would you like to talk about doing Unity game development on Windows 8? And I said, what's Unity? I like playing games. Play games my whole entire life, right? On mobile, on console, way, way back on my old Atari 800 XL. And I was like, well, let's figure out what Unity is. And then I sat down, I opened it up, I watched a couple of tutorials online. I was hooked. I mean, it was instant.
Oh, nice.
So it's been a passion since, and that was coming up on 2 years ago, yeah.
Nice, that's awesome. What is the thing that you like about Unity that made Unity a passion for you?
So I did in college. I can't say I've never done gaming stuff. In college, I did a senior project that was straight out coding for a game. Using DirectX, we did in our assembly language class, like as a project, we did a little game development in assembly language. And the experience wasn't either, like they were good learning experiences, but I wouldn't call them like extremely fun. When I found Unity, Well, first of all, let's say I'm an awful artist. Like, I can draw a mean stick figure, you know, little guys and characters and little horses and houses. But when it comes to doing any kind of 3D art, things like that, like what I would want in my head, I can't draw or do any of that. So I found out about Unity, and Unity has an asset store.
Mm-hmm.
And in the asset store, I can go buy a 3D model. If I want a zombie, I can get a zombie. If I want some demon or ogre or a house, or if I want, you know, a terrain and trees and all that, I can go get those from the asset store.
But everyone will have the same assets in their game?
You would think, but there's thousands of different assets in the asset store. So, and if I take a zombie from one game and I have it in like an urban environment, and then somebody else has a zombie in like a dark haunted house, won't even look the same. There's so many different asset packages out there. Not everybody's using the same ones. I literally have not seen two Unity games that have looked similar by using the same assets yet.
Nice. So you're saying you don't need an art designer or art director for building games?
I'm saying you don't have to have one.
Okay.
Right? So I worked on some games for a while. And I was taking stuff from the asset store, and you can get something up and running really fast. Like, there's a demo I did on Virtual Academy where basically sculpted out a world, threw in a dinosaur, and made a first-person shooter that was actually throwing at hamburgers. And that was called Dino Burger. That was for a Virtual Academy, geez, about a year and a half ago. And that, like, you can do really, really easily. You can have a first-person shooter with this beautiful world and running water probably inside of, like, 15, 20 minutes.
Wow, that's nice.
But with that said, you know, sometimes you want this kind of artistic creativity. And mm-hmm. you can do a lot with picking things from the asset store and placing them into your game, and you do really cool things like that. But sometimes you want to work with an artist to maybe you have a vision that might not be in the asset store.
Mm-hmm.
If you can find an artist, you know, it is really good to find one and work with one, but it's not a limiting factor. You can get stuff from the asset store and make a really awesome game. And I've seen it done with folks that have had no art experience whatsoever, used only assets from the Unity Asset Store, and had more than 500,000 downloads.
Wow. Well, I heard something from another CEO that I interviewed for the show, and he said that he builds everything from scratch because of performance. What do you think about that?
That's a double-edged sword. yes and no. So there's a couple pieces of that. Let's take a step back. As a developer, right, we want to develop everything on our own. We're like, I want control, I want to have my own code, and I want to have to rely on somebody else for making updates to that. And that's an important point. But sometimes as developers, we have to know when to relinquish control. Probably every single studio that we work with at Microsoft that uses Unity for something uses something from the Asset Store. It may or may not be our work.
Can you give examples?
Can't. Let's just say they do.
Okay.
And so I've worked with a lot of indie devs who said, no, I'm going to do this all on my own. Or maybe I want my own pathfinding project, even though there's open source stuff available. You have to draw the line at where you want to sit down and work on making your game, as opposed to working on like little aspects of the game that somebody else has already done and had tested. Most things like Unity in the Asset Store, you'll see on the reviews, works great on mobile or not good on mobile. So you know it's already been tested by potentially thousands of people. So that argument can hold true. Like if I go to a 3D marketplace on the net, like there's places like turbosquid.com where I can go and get a 3D model. They may or may not be optimized for mobile. I talked to a woman once and she got a shell in her game. It had like 1.2 million vertices in there, which would just kill any mobile device from that shell. So you have to be careful and know a couple things on what you're looking for, but you can definitely get a lot of mobile and performance optimized things from the Asset Store. So there is a point, but at the same time, sometimes you have to relinquish control just to be able to get your game done and release it, right? Folks sometimes work on their games for like 5 years. At some point in time, you want to release it. So you have to know where to pick and choose to work on the core of your game as opposed to pulling in other packages people have done. If I want to work with like input controls, heck, I'll buy a package from the Unity Asset Store and import it. I don't want to have to learn about each controller, what it supports. I'll buy the package for $15 or $20, bring it to my game, and then start working on my zombies.
Well, what if 5 years is a long cycle? What is the perfect cycle for you? When someone should plan for its game, for his game, and say, okay, maybe after 1 year, 2 years, what is the perfect cycle?
That's tough because things are changing so much, and it depends on where you release your game. I'm going to say things move on the PC probably a little bit slower than do on mobile. Mobile devices, the technology is moving so fast that if you look at a lot of games from, say, even just a couple of years ago, they look old, the style of them was older, right? You can do so much more on mobile nowadays. People are taking advantage of it. They're doing really cool 3D effects, really cool particle effects. I would say if you can release, if you can plan and release, even getting an initial prototype out there inside of 6 months, you're probably in a good spot.
Oh,
I've
wow.
seen people do it literally in a weekend. They've gone to a game jam, they did a prototype, they released it. My friend that works here at Microsoft, Tobias Marks, he's a game evangelist. He had one of the top apps on Android in 2011. And they developed that game fast, got it out, and yeah, as a great saying, games are a service. You're not taking your game and releasing it and you're done with it. You have to continually develop that game.
What if you have a lot of bugs and people just try
a lot of
it
bugs, and right? And not only that, you want to entice users coming back to your game. You want other additional content packs. You want more updates released. So they developed their game in like one weekend. They pushed it out, and then for
they're
the next
so confident.
You know, at some point in time, you have to say, "Let's do it," right? Nobody knows about my game yet. What's the worst thing that can happen? I get a couple of low reviews. We'll revise it. You know, those reviews will start to pick up. So they released it, and then they just for the next like year and a half or 2 years. Kept updating it, and it went and went, and eventually became either number one or number two on Android.
Wow.
So games are a service. So the quicker you can get it out, remember, it doesn't have to be perfect. You can continually revise.
Yeah, I think you say the key sentence here, game is a service.
Games are a service, right?
Because I never heard that, and a lot of people are thinking, no, I have to build my game entirely perfect, and then after 5 years of building my game, everything became old. Now my game
and plus, while you're doing that, somebody else might have a similar idea and come out with the same game and be more successful.
Well, about that, I interviewed another CEO, and she was working on her own game, and she said, "I will never put my game on phone or mobile because they will take my idea and reverse engineer it, and put my they will store something. Either they will reverse engineer and take my code, or they will steal my idea or anything." She's been focusing only on PC and Mac, I think. What do you think about this type of thinking?
The same thing probably still applies to their marketplaces, although you don't see clones as much on PC. I can see the point behind there, but does that mean that you shouldn't have done Flappy Bird? Because, you know, how many Flappy Bird clones are out there? And there's a lot of Flappy Bird clones that have done very, very, very well.
Yeah.
Does that mean that you shouldn't do the initial game because somebody will copy it? I don't think so. I think she has a good point. I can see why she made that point. But at the same time, you know, there's been a lot of successful people on mobile. the idea is first to market, you have a great idea, you have that game as a service, you have a plan, you constantly revise, you become the top one. Mm-hmm. Sure, somebody else can come out, and if they maybe have a better idea, so be it. I mean, look at the app marketplaces.
Yeah.
Combined between all the marketplaces out there, there's over 2 million titles. Some of them are duplicates. That's a lot of individual ideas, right?
Yeah,
there's a lot of overlap out there already in a lot of games. So, you know, the idea is you want to be unique and be first to market.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you're not the first on market, and then you also
win
the market.
Yeah.
Okay, you've said only good things about Unity and game development. What are the difficulties that you can have while building a game?
Difficulties, knowing the platform, right? With anything, you have to learn about the technology you're using. And you might get your feet wet on Unity or any game system, and then you start developing. You're like, all right, I've got all these ideas, I want to do this. Wait, how do I do this? How do I do this? You can get caught up on really, really small details.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing. You have to kind of know, in the same thing in software development, what features are major to your game project and what ones are minor. And you have to find that when you start working on a minor feature for too long, like I've done it myself. I've worked literally all night sometimes on the smallest problem that the next day I was like, why did I do that? Like, nobody cares about that. That's the smallest little feature. I could have just developed it and moved on. So knowing when to move on and knowing the platform. So take advantage of resources.
Yeah, about the platform, are you saying focus only on one platform? Like, let's focus only on mobile, or let's only focus on Android, or can we ship the game for all the platforms at the same time?
I would ship for most at the same time if you can. So what I always recommend is that people do deployments to multiple platforms early on, right? If you are only developing on one platform and you start developing a game, by the time you get to the end, you might realize there was something that you could have done a lot easier to make it easier to support multiple platforms. So I say early on, if you can, get different devices, test for different platforms or as early in a cycle as you can. What I meant on kind of the platform was on whatever game development platform you happen to be using, or game engine, I should say, learn that one as best you can. Because even with Unity or Unreal or any of them, you're going to come across something that you're going to get hung up on, right? You don't maybe have the technical skill to figure out whatever. Use the resources out there. Use the forums out there. I've talked with folks that for whatever reason, they haven't wanted to go out and use like the Unity forums because they didn't want maybe somebody to see what they were working on, or they were just being stubborn about it, right?
Yeah.
Use the resources. There's people out there with way more experience than you in that particular area. Post it out there, they'd be happy to help you. So take advantage of the resources out there.
Yeah, that's true. Let's talk a little bit about your games.
Yes.
What are the games that you've been working on?
So,
how did it started?
So I've worked on a bunch of different things. So being kind of the perfectionist, so to say, I've been caught in the trap too, where I've developed games and I didn't like it. I've deployed them to the store, pulled them back. And so now we've got two that we're working on. One called Zombie Pumpkin Slayer. And and the other one is Necro Slayers. And so both of them are kind of coming along about a parallel rate. Zombie Pumpkin Slayers, we actually got started. We did a Microsoft Virtual Academy, so a great learning experience for developers. And we did a 10-session module, a 10-module course on learning Unity. It's
nice.
Free. We do architecture of Unity, 2D development, 3D development. We have an artist with us, so it shows kind of his workflow, optimizing, running the cloud, deploying to Windows, monetizing. Great talk on monetizing, right? Very, very important. So that's free. And that was around Halloween time. And so we thought, what could we have as a really cool game that we can open source, at least a portion of it, and show people? And like, well, Halloween's coming up. What goes
Just
with Halloween?
Pumpkin in the name.
Pumpkin and zombies.
Zombies.
So we came up with Zombie Pumpkin Slayer. So you're protecting a tombstone, and zombie pumpkins are coming from the sides, and you have to run back and forth and kill them before they destroy the tombstone because you're protecting the graveyard.
Mm.
That's Zombie Pumpkin Slayer. We open sourced a portion of that on GitHub.
Nice.
And then we have Necro Slayers, which it's basically the end of the world has happened, and there's demons and bad dudes everywhere. And
how can you work on two games at the same time?
in bits and pieces, and sometimes you can share between them, right?
Okay.
Not always, but there's a lot of code that you can share between games. How you're doing menuing systems and how your character movements and a lot of those character code, or the quasi-dumb enemy AI. I hesitate to use the term AI because sometimes it's so basic.
Yeah.
But you can use a lot of that between your games.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Are you planning, do you have a date on when you're going to publish?
If I threw out a date, we'd probably miss it. So I imagine in the next month or two, we're going to have a release of Zombie Pumpkin Slayer. There are some folks that were interested in a VR demo of it at GDC. So we're going to try to get that for one of the VR headsets. I don't know if you've seen them. There's a bunch of them in this space right now. You can do Cardboard, that works with almost any phone out there. Google Cardboard, they release a Unity SDK. We have some folks internally that are working on some SDKs that work with multiple phones as well. So you can get professional ones, or you can actually just cut out your little cardboard cutouts. Mm-hmm. So we're working on an experience for that. So rather than seeing a character running around and controlling him, you are the zombie pumpkin slayer.
How does it work? Does it connect to the phone, or does it have its own OS? How does it work?
Yes and yes. It depends on which one you're doing. So mm-hmm. take something like the Oculus, right? So that's a headset. It's got wires that hooks up to your computer. A lot of it's dependent on the hardware on the computer you're running on. Then there's some of the VR headsets that are programmed. They run on your phone. So you take your phone, you either put it inside of Cardboard, or there's like Gear VR, Merge VR. They have their own VR headsets that you can, you put the phone into it, and it your phone is the operating system for it, and that becomes the experience. It has head tracking on there. That works really, really cool. So that's one of the really neat features and the new experiences coming out. And then, I mean, look, what did we do last week? We announced HoloLens, which, I mean, nobody knows anything about that yet, but that looks amazing. I can't wait to see one of those devices. That's going to be cool.
It is
very cool.
Yeah, okay. Let's end with some advices. I want you to look there and give anyone who's hesitating on starting building their own game and give them some advices that they can jump in and build their game in a weekend or how many times.
If you go online and you watch some tutorials, what you can create in some of the game engines. I'll take Unity because that's the one that kind of grabbed my heart that I started learning with. We do a lot of events with Unity now, road shows across the country that we have a couple dates coming up. Look in your areas for Unity road shows or any of the Unity series we do with them because there are events that you can literally show up and in one day learn how to do a platformer or some kind of cool 3D stuff. But look online at the resources. That's what I did. I looked online, I sat down and learned some resources, and literally within a couple hours, I was like, oh my gosh, this is what I can create. You can do it. Go online, look at the resources, look at our Virtual Academy course, URL, hopefully, right there.
Yes.
you will be amazed at what you can learn and do. And you don't have to be a crazy game programmer. If you're not a programmer at all, there's visual scripting systems like Playmaker inside of Unity where you don't have to code at all. You can basically define these behavior trees, finite state machines, and you can say, click, 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 I want this object to do this, or rotate, or follow this object, so you don't even have to be a programmer to do it.
Thank you, Adam, for this interview. That was really great advices. Can you tell them also your link for the game?
You can go to necroslayers.com, URL. And
yes, URL, and follow him on Twitter, Adam Tulipper.
Adam Tulipper, and also github.com/AdamTulipper. You can find Zombie Pumpkin Slayer's open source edition on there as well.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Sure thing.
Yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed this interview.